theme song.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is TNA Superstar EC3.
It's me, DDP.
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap, and you're listening to the greatest rap.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
Bada boom! Realest guys in a room.
How you know?
I love kickball.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rockin'.
Death, death, death!
Did somebody say my name?
I'm trying to have a peaceful talk show, right? I'm not trying to have one of these talk shows at all that end in brawls and fights and everything like that.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Welcome to the 4-year anniversary special, yeah, of The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And a very fine shout-out to the folks listening to us at WildTalkRadio.com, Gerwick.net, and RackRadioShow.com. Thank you so much for joining us. I am your host, Lindsay Ward, and joining me per the norm is my ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
4 years ago, we started off this show with a pipe bomb.
Yeah. Yes, we did.
Well, we attempted a pipe bomb, as it were.
A pipe bomb and at least a couple shots.
At least a couple shots. I know we were trying to do a pipe bomb, but there's technical problems with it. But, you know, that's in the past. We've got it all figured out by now.
By the way, it has been, like, years since I've heard that song. That takes me back. Mainly to high school, but that takes me back. Okay. Hashtag Throwback Thursday.
Hashtag Throwback Thursday. You know, it's a party song. You know, we gotta get the party started. It's a rack. Four years spectacular.
Oh, I know, but it's been years since I've heard that song, so. Awesome.
It's called, I went into the folder called Party Songs. And that just happened to be in there.
Let's use some pink.
Because why not? Just wait till we get what we have left for later in the show.
Yes, because we have awesome people who sent awesome questions, and we're so proud. But yes, we have a ton to get into, because like we said, it's the 4-year anniversary show. Tuesday was our actual anniversary, but we are celebrating it here tonight. We have news, we have notes, we have NXT, and we have the very special segment called Ask the Rack, where, well, we take listener-submitted questions and we answer them live on the air! Yay! And we have some awesome questions, but we're saving that for the end of the show, so you have to listen all the way through or pick up the archive tomorrow when it comes out on WildTalkRadio.com to get those questions. But I say we dive right into the news, brought to you by friends over at Gerwick.net. What do you say?
Let's do it. By the way, I was talking about the music. I wasn't talking about the questions.
Well, I'm talking about both, so there.
So there. Huh. Yeah.
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 And also TNAsylum.net, the haven for TNA fans. Gotta give them the shout out too. Can't forget that.
Cause Brother Nero!
Oh my God. bless them.
Tune in, I believe it's Tuesday. Everyone needs to tune in to Impact Wrestling Tuesday night.
Oh my God, bless them so much. Cause nothing says safe like fireworks in a wrestling match.
It's 4th of July, you gotta bring out those fireworks.
Oh my God, I hope they came out with all 10 fingers?
Brother Nero!
Oh, Jesus. So we're going to start with the biggest news, or some of the biggest news of the week, because this was kind of a slow news week, but yet we were able to find some rather interesting news stories to talk about this week. And of course, the dreaded, because, and I call it dreaded because no matter what, nobody's ever happy with this, no matter who goes on this cover. But the dreaded cover of WWE 2K17 was shown this week to the wrestling world, and per the norm, everybody hated it, everybody's complaining about it, and we have Brock Lesnar gracing the cover this year.
Oh my god, why isn't the current guy on the cover? Oh my god, why can't they, you know, use someone on the real roster, someone who actually works full-time, put him on the cover? Oh my god, it should be Dana Brooke. Oh my god, it should be The New Day. Oh my god, it shouldn't be Brock Lesnar. Is that whiny enough? Is that internet whiny enough for you?
Well, I mean, to be fair, they could have put Roman Reigns on the cover. To be fair.
Well, it's a good thing they didn't.
It's a really good thing they didn't, because
we'll get there.
We'll get there with Roman Reigns.
But no,
if you live under a rock, Roman Reigns has been suspended for violating the wellness policy. We have an update on that. We'll get to that, but yeah. Good thing he wasn't on the cover.
Good thing he wasn't on the cover. And everyone should have kind of realized that Brock was going to be on the cover when they put out the first teaser for Goldberg, and it had Suplex City, and, you know, he sort of put it there. Brock Lesnar is the biggest star they have. You could argue John Cena is, and everyone complained to John Cena if John Cena was on the cover. He was just on the cover recently, so it wasn't going to be John Cena.
No, but it's always the argument of the exposure of who goes on the game cover, because it's always a big deal of who's on the cover that year, because they generally have a featured role in the game, somewhat.
Somewhat, depends. It all really depends. But again, Brock Lesnar is the most marketable person they could put on the cover at this point.
He's the biggest name they have, especially considering when the game is probably slated to come out.
October 11th.
Brock's going to be coming off his UFC fight before that.
And off of SummerSlam.
So Brock is going to be huge around the time that the game comes out. So it makes sense that he is on the cover. Now, I understand that when they picked Brock for the cover, none of this was in the works. None of what's happened recently had happened. But still, even without it, Brock Lesnar is one of the biggest, if not the biggest names that they have on the active roster right now. It makes complete sense to put him on the cover.
Make complete sense. Things you can learn from the trailer that I learned afterwards. Apparently you can confirm that Big Show is in the video game. Why is there in the video game?
Dean Ambrose is in the game.
Sheamus is in the game. And Alberto Del Rio is in the game.
And I think Booker T's in the game.
Yeah, Booker T as well. The Spinneroonie they had in the background.
And there were other Easter eggs. I couldn't catch everything. The only thing I couldn't figure out in the game commercial for Brock, where they showed the cover, was at the end where they have the chick in the goat mask, what that was all about.
I have no idea.
I figured it might be something Wyatt related, but yeah, it's like, what? Because, you know, of course, me being me, I have to slow it down and watch it frame by frame by frame by frame by frame to catch everything.
And I'm like, did you see the Wyatt mask? And then she went back and watched it, slowed it down frame by frame.
Well, no, because the commercial came on TV and I wasn't paying attention to it.
I know. But it's like one of those things, if you don't pay attention to see it, you won't see it.
Yeah. You have to watch in between the flashes of Brock Lesnar, but yeah. Everybody is just, you know, personally to me, I'm to the point where I really don't care who goes on the cover of the game. I care about who's in the game. I care about the gameplay modes and kind of what stories they're offering. Because I feel like that's a little bit more important than who's on the cover. It's like, yeah, it's mass exposure and everybody's going to see who's on the cover, but it's like, I think it was the year Orton was on the cover. Might have been Orton or Cena. Taker had an entire special mode.
Yeah, and that's when they made the special Taker special edition. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, it doesn't really, you know, to me it's like the cover isn't as important as the story modes, because it's who's featured in the story modes that matters.
I'm going to explain something to you, because I play video games. I play sports games. And every year they talk about, oh my god, who's on the cover of this and who's on the cover of that. I have never once bought a video game because so-and-so is on the cover. It doesn't matter. just pointing it out. It really doesn't matter. Will it, for the casual fan to catch someone's eye, oh my god, that's Brock Lesnar, I want to see what he's doing on the game, that's why he's on it. But besides that, it's like, to for a person who actually buys the game. Doesn't matter who's on the cover. That's all. But it's cool. Brock Lesnar. Awesome. Can't wait to see what they do.
Should be exciting. Especially considering the fact that it just gets better every year. Especially the graphics. The graphics just get better every year. It's awesome.
I will say this. WWE 2K. Get your crap in order. Gotta get that community creations fixed. Because it's not working right now. Just saying. Get it fixed.
Tweet them?
I did. I have a support ticket in. They asked me for my information and they haven't gotten back to me.
Don't we know a guy on the inside? Didn't we interview somebody once?
He worked at THQ. I don't think he works there anymore.
Damn it.
Brian, I think he's moved on. He worked for THQ.
Brian Williams,
one of the first people, one of the first seven people we interviewed on the show. Back in 2012.
Way back when. Yeah, that was when, yeah.
I think that was when we had Daniels. It was either Maxine or Brian, or it was Daniels and Brian. I can't remember who was on the same show together. I think it was Brian and Daniels. Then it was Maxine and Daniels.
No, Maxine and Williams, rather. No, they weren't together.
One of them was together.
All right.
I'm going to go do this. You go to the next story. I'm going to figure this out.
Yeah, you go figure this out, because Maxine was on her own. Have you forgotten the roller coaster rule? Rides.
Oh, I know. Trust me. I know the roller coaster rides. Trust me. Anyway, what's next on the story agenda?
Sadly, what's next on the story agenda, because I'm just going to go in order for a minute. Bray Wyatt was removed from the Hawaii tour and also the Japan tour. So he did not get a free trip to Honolulu, and he is not going to Japan. He was originally slated to face Shinsuke Nakamura. However, plans were changed, and Kevin Owens was put in his place. There is no reason why Bray was pulled.
I think they needed stars somewhere else. They needed SmackDown.
They needed stars somewhere else, and also I think they're a little hesitant to send him overseas just yet, especially since he's coming off an injury where he was overseas. So it's probably they're keeping him a little close to home just for his injury, because while I'm sure he is 100%, they may just be keeping him close by. Just to be safe, because that's a long flight to Hawaii, and it's an even longer flight to Japan, and that can wreak havoc on your body if you're just overcoming an injury. So, sadly, no Bray Wyatt in Japan or Honolulu, so he is out haunting somewhere in the United States.
Okay.
Lord knows where.
Alright, so I have an update.
You have an update.
Bryan Williams was on a show with someone, Adam Pearce.
Ah, Mr. Pierce, yes.
It was Adam Pierce and Brian Williams. I knew he was on a show with someone. I forget. I just forgot who it was.
Yeah, I was going to say, it wasn't Daniels and it wasn't Maxine. I know that.
Yeah, so.
Daniels, the first time we ever interviewed him, I think was on his own.
Both times were was on his own, yeah.
And then we got Kazarian.
Yeah, then we got Kaz.
Daniels and Kaz. No, we've never had them together.
Never had them together, but we had them back-to-back weeks.
That's right.
As we give you the history of the show, as we just go on with the news, presented by Garwick.net.
We can't even keep the interview straight anymore, God. Although, I know exactly when we did Kane. I will never forget that.
Well, you'll hear from Kane in a little bit. Anyway, what's next on the list?
Total Bellas has announced its start date.
October 5th, 8 p.m. Eastern, on E!
Tune in, we're probably doing the Rack Extra for it.
Yes, the Rack Extra Total Bellas Edition starts the week of October 5th, 8, 7 Central, on E!
Woohoo! Let's see, WWE, speaking of starting things, WWE has announced a international partnership with the Special Olympics.
That's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool.
What are they doing, you know?
I did not write it down, sadly.
Special Olympics and WWE, and it helps create a change through sports. With the new partnership, WWE will support Special Olympics Play Unify campaign, which fosters friendships, understanding, and inclusive communities among people with and without intellectual disabilities by uniting them through the power and joy of sports. WWE superstars participate in Play Unite events with Special Olympic athletes from around the world, including China, India, Mexico, Germany, the UK, and the U.S., and WWE utilizes its global platforms, including WWE Network, television broadcasts, live events, and digital and social media to generate awareness and support for the Special Olympics. As you saw on Monday night, they had a big thing on the ramp. You can go to specialolympics.org or playunify.org as well for more information about the partnership.
They did. It was awesome. They had Big Show.
They did have Big Show.
So, let's see. WWE has hired a brand new announcer for NXT, and that is Charlie Arnold?
Something like that. She started tonight at the NXT Winter Haven live event, which, by the way, here's a plain Brent update. Hideo Tommy returned to action for the first time in 13 months?
Yeah, I was going to say over a year.
He got injured in May of last year. It's been 13 months since Hideo Tommy's been in the ring. Almost 14 at this point, because we're almost in July. So yeah, 13 months, Hideo Tommy returns to the ring tonight at NXT Winter Haven.
Hey!
Where he was color-coordinated with the ring and Samoa Joe.
Brand! I mean, God, he was wearing yellow and black.
Oh, no. Yeah, the ring and yeah, everything. He was just, he was all NXT.
It's like they, I know they don't plan it, but it's like they did plan it, you know?
Oh, I know.
It's just, it's kind of scary.
It really sort of is scary. A quick little update about, speaking of people in NXT, they've dropped the trademark for Baylor Club.
Which is interesting.
Like, the school Baylor was putting up opposition at one point for the term Baylor Club, but I don't think they ever got anywhere with it. I think it's one of those things that they don't need the trademark just yet, and they can always recertify the trademark.
They can always recertify the trademark if they need the trademark, but I think at this point they're not going to run with Baylor Club. I think they're just going to go with the club, and they're going to be a little bit more generic with it.
Probably, and with the merchandise, they probably have something trademarked for Baylor. The word Baylor, maybe not Baylor Club, but the word Baylor, so they can continue to put out the Baylor Club merch like they do on WWE Shop.
Yeah.
So, there is that.
There is that. And, well, while they dropped one trademark, they're trying to save, it seems, another, because WWE offered Cody Rhodes a Legends deal where basically it's merchandising, because the rumor is they have a ton of Stardust merchandise that they want to get rid of, but they can't get rid of it because, well, Cody Rhodes left.
So, yeah, they because I think they want to get rid of the Stardust merch, and they want to probably had stuff in the works for Cody Rhodes. So, yeah, they want to get him so he can get all the royalties for it all, and they can get it out there. I heard Cody Rhodes was upset that the news came out about that, because the way it's been spun is Cody Rhodes reached out to WWE about returning, and that's not the story. WWE's yeah. Mark Carano reached out to Cody Rhodes to talk about the Legends deal.
Yeah, that way if he does decide he wants to come back, it's a little bit easier for him to come back, but I think it's more they're trying to get rid of merchandise. And it's really a win-win if Cody's interested, because Cody can get the merchandising money and WWE can get rid of the merchandise and get the money. So it's kind of a good situation for both.
Yeah.
Plus, it could be rumored or it could be worked out that Cody gets to use the Rhodes name on the indies. He can easily work that into his deal. And it's just a little bit of an extra cushion for Cody if he decides that's what he wants to do. But there's no reason why he should or he shouldn't. I think that's entirely his decision.
It is entirely his decision on that one. Now, before we dive deep into the big story that we have to talk about here in a second, we need to talk about the Iranian Hawk.
You want to discuss this, so you go forth.
This is a big dude. If you haven't seen him, his name is Shajad Garbi? Garabi? No. He tips the scales at 160 kilos. It's big, big dude.
He's just a massive humanity.
He's a massive humanity. And he wants to come to WWE. He looks very, like, I guess where it is, cartoonish in some fashion.
He's like Braun Strowman big.
He's bigger than Braun Strowman.
Bray! We found you another kid!
He's bigger than the Great Khali in terms of size, I think, or at least weight. He's a big dude, really big dude. I think he would be an awful wrestler because I don't think he can take a bump, but I think it'll be fun just to see him try to throw around a midget. I know that's wrong, but I just want to see it happen.
Well, he's a power lifter, so he would at least have the strength. But he signed up for a fight in Syria, so. That's kind of interesting, but yeah, he's just like solid. I don't know how else to describe this man other than just completely 100% solid.
He's a big mother, you know what?
Yeah. And he has the Iron Sheik stamp of approval.
Of course he does.
The Iron Sheik's got to support his boy, you know?
That's how you do it.
Like you do, you know? You support your people.
Exactly.
And, like, one last note. Before we jump into the big story, Dwayne Johnson will be joining the ranks of the Hollywood Immortal as he's getting his own star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. That the ceremony will take place in 2017. So congratulations to The Rock. Well-earned, well-deserved.
Well-earned, well-deserved, and he's one of the biggest draws they have in Hollywood and one of the hardest-working men they have in Hollywood, so it's no surprise that he's going on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Nope. So congratulations to him.
Now, will they put it by Vince?
I kind of want them to. No, I think Vince's neighborhood is all filled up, so we'll have to see.
We'll have to see where The Rock ends up. But we have one big, really story to sort of a little bit dive into. It's a follow-up to what we talked about last week.
Yeah, so following up the Roman Reigns story from last week, it has come out what Roman Reigns was taking that basically got him in trouble with the drug policy, and it was discovered he was taking amphetamines, and he was also smoking weed.
The weed is no big deal, because that's a $2,500 fine like we talked about. But the amphetamines, I kind of told everyone last week, basically, without saying amphetamines, what the deal was, the struggles of being a champion, the struggles of being the guy, this sort of thing happens. Because we were going through it last night, and some of the things were basically to keep, you know, your energy up, so you recover faster, so you could be on all the time. It's not steroids, it's a performance enhancer, it's a PED.
Yeah.
And it helped him lose weight. And give him energy. So he will always look the part, always be ready to be a part of it. It's what they do. It's what athletes do.
It's what athletes do, but I think it was detrimental to Roman, or detrimental isn't the right word, but it wasn't a good idea on Roman's part. I understand you're on, I understand you have a wicked crazy schedule, and some guys handle it better than others. But John Cena, no matter what we try to do, is the bar. And John Cena, as far as anybody knows, has never gotten caught doing anything. Whether it's performance enhancing, whether it's drugs, what have you. John Cena's never been caught. And John Cena has the craziest schedule of them all. So I think the expectation on WWE's part is that everybody handles it like Cena. Because what's coming out about this story is that Roman got popped for the PEDs and for the pot and was forced to apologize to the locker room.
He was ordered to apologize. That goes to show it was not, okay, you got popped for weed and ADHD meds. No, it's not Adam Rose, not anything like that. In fact, he had to go and apologize to the locker room. That's why we said before, it was a big deal. That's why we made the public statement.
Yeah, they're looking at him to be the guy. They're looking at him to cover, to carry the company on his shoulders. And they don't want somebody that is going to be doing those kinds of things carrying the company. They want someone that can carry it without those things. And Roman's human. Nobody is faulting Roman for what he did. You know, you do what gets you through the storm. He was taking the PEDs to get him through, to reduce his recovery time, to do what he had to do, and then obviously he was smoking the pot to probably come down off the PEDs. Because the PEDs lift you up, they get you excited, or they help you focus, or whatever, and then you need something to sort of help you chill, you do the pot. Like, so, I get that. You know, I can understand that, I can respect that, but I can also see WWE's side of it. You don't want your top guy relying on banned substances. Because here's the thing, it's working now. But what happens when Roman's body develops tolerance to what he's taking? He has to up the dosage. And he has to continue to up the dosage until he's addicted to it. Do you really want your top guy addicted to PEDs? The answer to that question is no, you don't. They've had too many other guys addicted to various substances on top to deal with that. They want somebody who's clean, they want somebody who's sober, they want somebody that can handle themselves.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's unfortunate for Roman. I mean, I'm not blaming him, I'm not saying anything bad about him. Like I said, he's human, we all make mistakes. It happens. To me, I think he could be doing a lot worse things than what he did, but I can see how WWE is upset by it.
Oh, I can see why WWE is upset by it. I like you said, he's human, and stuff like that happens. He screwed up. He made a mistake. He admitted he made a mistake. And now he's going to pay the price. And he's at least he's been man enough to admit his mistake. But again, like I said before, pressures of champion, being champion, pressures of being the guy. This is the end result of it.
Yeah. And then you look at guys like Seth Rollins, who carried that title for a very, very long time. Never had a problem. So I think the benchmark are those people that can do this. Or basically, it's not even a benchmark. It's just figuring out who can do this and who can't. Who can handle the pressure and who can't. And to Roman's credit, it's his first time as with any run, I think, with a real title.
He knew these last six months were important to him.
Yeah, he understood it was important, and he tried his best to keep up with it. And he felt he couldn't, and so he took things to make sure he could keep up. But it's like you have guys like Seth Rollins, who have held titles in other companies before, who understand what a long title reign is, that he understands the demands that fall on a champion. Sure, it's not being WWE champion, but Rollins handled it without ever getting caught with drugs. Cena's handled it. You know, Punk handled it. The list goes on and on and on of everybody who handled it and never got caught with drugs. Now, you could say, well, they might have gotten favoritism. No, they didn't.
It's nothing to do with favoritism. It's just being smart about it.
It's being smart about it, and it's also experience. Roman, this is Roman's first major title run. He doesn't have the experience with it. Now he does. Now he knows better.
You hope.
I promise. Oh, no. I'm fairly sure he learned his lesson. Maybe not about pot, but about the PEDs, yeah, I'm fairly sure he learned his lesson.
We hope.
But yeah, so update on Roman Reigns. He is still slated to come back right before Battleground. He is still in the main event Battleground. No word yet on how that match is supposed to go. So we'll keep you posted as Battleground gets near, but I say we take our first break of the evening. What do you say?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Well, you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and when we come back, we're going to be talking all things NXT. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
Strumming my six string on my front porch swing. Mellow shrimp, they're beginning to boil. Wasting away again in Margaritaville. Searching for my lost sugar salt. Some people claim that there's a woman to blame, but I know.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MBG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
This is the Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Celebrating 4 years of The Rack.
So, you mentioned that you got to work with the wonderful Soska sisters, and what was it like for you working with female directors on the film?
Oh, we meshed really well, because they're not your typical females. You know, they're huge WWE fans, and, you know, they're probably into all the stuff that us guys are into. So, yeah, they were great, and what's really interesting about working with them is, despite the fact that they're two people, at times it seemed like you're dealing with one mind, mm-hmm. because, you know, one of the Jen would often be on the floor doing the direction of the action, and Sylvia would be watching on the monitor. And you'd go through a scene, and there'd be tweaks, and they wouldn't talk to each other. Jen would just tell you what to do differently, and then you'd do the scene again, and Sylvia would be like, okay, that's good. And it's like, wait a second. You know, how, you know, do they see through each other's eyes here? What's going on? So at first, I was a little worried, okay, how are you going to work with two directors? You know, because the director is the boss, and that's the person that has the final say in what's going on. And how are you going to do it if there's two of them? But what was really cool about it was still like you were sort of working with one, and instead of competing or butting heads, they actually augmented one another. So it was really an awesome experience.
Awesome. I joke with my producer because we do that sometimes where we call it one brain, and that's...
Yeah.
Yeah, we have this thing where we just read each other's minds. It's like, boom, you want to go this way? We go this way, and you go from there.
It's kind of terrifying.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop motion wrestling action figure needs. Get your resting bliss faces out, because that music means one thing. We're about to visit the land of the evil sparkle fairy. That's right, we're talking all things NXT.
Wait, what?
Just go with it.
That wasn't her music.
It's close enough.
No, see, the closing music was this. We're closing to our music.
Whose music was that?
What we came into was America Alpha.
It sounds the same! It's like her, Apollo Crews, and them all sound the same. Leave me alone.
By the way, go back and listen to the Kane interview. It's available now at rockradioshow.com, or you can check out the YouTube channel, youtube.com/rockradioshow. It's up there as well. Plus, you can go to Rack Radio Show's YouTube channel and see two sim matches of a past Rack guest. We have Elimination Chamber with the men and a four-way with the women. So check it out.
I'm just curious, who did you play as in the Elimination Chamber?
I didn't play as anyone. I simmed the entire thing.
So I should guess it right?
You did.
Hey!
Actually, you got them. You were correct on both.
Ha ha! Do I get points?
No, there's no points. It's not WTR Fantasy where you get all the points.
But I'm in the lead.
Anyway, you're in the lead in WTR Fantasy. Right now, it's Alexa Bliss versus Carmella to open up the show. And Alexa and our resting Bliss-faced were really annoyed and thrown off by the antics of Carmella early in the match. Got under her skin.
Yeah, just a little bit. So she kind of decided to plant Carmella's face into the mat.
She did. She took control after we came back from break. She was concerned with the ref. She got too concerned with the ref. It allowed Carmella to get back into the matchup. Atomic drop, boot in the corner, head scissors, Bronco Buster. Bliss would counter with a charge after charging Carmella into a roll, changing into a roll up for a two count. Bliss went to got caught on top rope. Carmella would do the handstand head scissors like Trish used to do for a two count. Bliss then went all evil sparkle fairy with that face she makes where she just gets all serious with her throat slam, and then the sparkle splash, aka the twisted Bliss for the win. I like the name sparkle splash rather than Twisted Bliss. Well, that's just me.
Yeah, sparkle splash is more fun.
It is.
But she's not the good sparkle fairy. She's the evil sparkle fairy. So
true. This was good.
This was very good. I enjoyed it. I like that they're bringing Alexa Bliss back into the scene as a heel. You need someone to play off Carmella, who's obviously transitioning their top face. So you need that balance, which they're finding. And also, I just really like Alexa Bliss.
I like
her
too.
There's something about her. Mm-hmm. That it factor.
It's an it factor. Apparently, Corey Graves likes her too, because he likes his women like he likes his pizza. cold.
Isn't he into Eva Marie?
He is into Eva Marie.
Just saying.
We then heard from Shinsuke Nakamura. He talked about knowing Finn for 10 years. They traveled and hung out in Japan. They know each other's families. When he came to NXT, I supported him by watching him in Japan. He became champion and icon. Now I am here. I need something like him. I want to face one of the best, so before becoming champion, I have to fight Finn Balor. It's huge for me. He's one of my best friends. I know his ability and potential. It's going to be exciting. When we face together, I'm going to give you guys something sensational.
Just strap in and buckle up and hold on for the ride, y'all, because this is going to be fun. I can't wait for this match. I can't just, yeah, this is going to be something. This is going to be something.
Yeah. By the way, you know how you had to recap Hulk Hogan promos? It's interesting trying to recap Shinsuke promos. Just saying.
Good luck with that. Have fun with that.
Yeah. But no, it was a good promo, though. Bailey was then talking backstage. She said it was amazing to get back in the ring. Sitting out was humbling, but she feels ready to get back and get back her NXT Women's Championship. Alexa Seck walks in and says she doesn't deserve another shot at the NXT Women's Championship. And she mentioned she wasn't pinned in the Triple Threat match a few weeks ago. I just beat your best friend. If you want to fight for the title, you have to go through me. It was fun beating your best friend, but it'll bring her so much pleasure to beat you.
Strong words.
I like how confident Alexa is in her promos.
Mm-hmm.
And Bailey's just good. Great.
Oh, Bailey's phenomenal. That goes without saying.
Yeah. Then we had Noah Pattes, I think that's how I pronounce his name, versus Andrade Cien Almas. This was a match where you could barely pronounce people's names. They were putting the announcers were putting over how creepy Noah was, his face was. There really wasn't much of the match. Andrade Cien almost picked up the win.
It was fun.
It was fine. Austin Aries backstage talked about his attack on Noah Jose. He talks about he was one of the most decorated sports entertainers this world has ever seen. Says no one hasn't accomplished anything, yet the fans go crazy for him. The fans boo me, and they say Austin sucks. He says he will give the fans something not to like. What I do from here on out is on them. Strong words from Austin Aries.
Very strong words from Austin Aries. The cocky best man that ever lived is coming back.
Yeah, it's great.
It is great.
We then had Finn Balor. He did his promo talking about going to Japan and not knowing anyone. Then Shinsuke helped him. He helped him adapt and took him under his wing and showed him what it's like to be in Japanese pro wrestling. Shinsuke has a friend. Not a work friend. A friend. I know his family. He knows mine. We hang out outside of work. This isn't a locker room friendship. It's a real one. God, it's like, I'm reminded of the Kevin Nash promo where they mocked the Arn Anderson. This is not my dog spot. This is not my, you know, this spot. It's my spot when you talk about a friend, real friend, anything. Anyway, moving on. I'm the only one who knows that reference. Anyway, I said goodbye to Shinsuke 2 years ago when I came to NXT. When I heard the news, I got goosebumps. I was over the moon when he was coming to NXT. I really wanted to return the favor for him. I wanted to help him adapt to NXT. Now we come to the crossroads and face each other. Shinsuke has called me the icon of NXT. I don't know if that's true. We have fought before. A lot has changed since then. It feels different. It feels special. It's NXT. The fans are in for a real treat. Shinsuke versus Finn on NXT TV. I'm just getting excited even saying it.
They're doing a really good job of hyping this match. Like, a really, really, really good job.
Yes, they are. Which I'm hyped.
Don't get hyped, stay hyped.
Which we'll talk about in a second. American Alpha showed up earlier in the day. Bailey and Lex Luger next week. And then we had the Hype Bros in the main event, taking on Gargano and Ciampa. And I agreed with Corey Graves and didn't miss the Hype Bros.
I didn't. Like, I like the Hype Bros. I really do. It's just kind of like, kind of thing. Like, I like Mojo Rawley.
See, I don't know what to make of Mojo Rawley. He's too out there for me.
He's hyped. Like, I don't know if the whole hype thing is, like, gonna have longevity, but I like him. I like him. There's something about him that I like. I think it's just maybe he's a really sweet human being, but yeah, I there's something about him I like, and I think if they could just find the right thing for him, because he was picking up momentum and then he got hurt, and then when he came back, he lost all his momentum and they just could not get it back for him.
Yeah, I can see that.
I think he's one of those that's like he starts to pick up steam and then something happens and it stops him from picking up steam.
Yeah, I can see that. So the match was okay at the start. It picked up at the end. A lot of great near falls, a lot of back and forth action. Gargano and Ciampa picked up the win. Like, the beginning before the break, it was just a match. You really couldn't get into it, and then it just, they hit some nice near falls, and it was good. Overall, it turned out well.
Overall, it was fine.
We then had Gargano and Ciampa talk about beating the Revival 2 weeks ago. They said it puts them in line for a title shot. Out comes American Alpha, fantasy points, woo woo. Gable said, no offense, but they aren't next in line for anything. We lost our titles at that TakeOver. You guys get a shot, it'll be against us. We are winning back the tag team titles. We're also going to get revenge on the Authors of Pain. They want to remind the Revival that they are the alphas of NXT. This brought out the Revival. They let them in on a top guy secret. They are manning the ship. They call the shots. And then the guy in charge, the commish, the GM, whatever you want to call him, the man in charge, William Regal, came out. And, well, he runs the show. He dictates the terms. Ciampa and Gargano are in line for title shots. But says we need to find out who the dominant team in NXT is, and says next week it will be a 2 out of 3 falls for the tag team titles when Gargano and Ciampa take on the the Revival take on American Alpha. Gargano and Ciampa shook hands with American Alpha. They leave, and then Authors of Pain jump American Alpha. Gargano and Ciampa watch for a minute before making a save, but they got taken out. American Alpha came back, which included Jordan hitting a big German suplex on one of the big dudes, but then got taken out. And the Authors of Pain stood tall to end NXT.
Elderling found his black suit. I'm so happy. Out of everything that happened in that entire segment, Paul Elderling wore black, and it made me happy.
Everything I read, but no, Elderling found his suit.
Elderling found his suit that made me... I don't think y'all understand. It just bothered the crap out of me, where he came out in the gray, like this gray jacket and these dark pants and this... I think it was like either an off-color turtleneck. And it's like, he's walking these two huge dudes in all black to the ring. I'm like, where is your black suit? You need a black suit. He needs a black suit. Why is he not wearing black? It bothered the crap out of me. He found his black suit this week. I was very happy. It's like, oh, finally, they match.
So next week, go ahead.
Because I like symmetry.
Yes, you do. As we dictate every time we watch a house show. Next week we get Bayley and Alexa. That should be good. The 2 out of 3 falls match should be really good. NXT next week should be a lot of fun, and we're gearing up for Shinsuke and Finn.
Oh, I know. Like I said, they're just doing a great job building to that, and it's a really, really slow burn, which is nice. It's not like, oh, next week, oh crap, we have a big match. Here's like 4 weeks worth of material pushed in one night. It's a nice, slow, steady build to that match, which is nice.
Yeah, which is great. So I'm looking forward to everything that is to come on that.
Agree, but I say we take our second break of the evening. What do you say?
Let's do it.
All right. So when we come back, we are doing Tweet of the Week. And yes, for the 4-year anniversary special tradition, because we don't have a 4-year one every year, although we could. We're doing Ask the Rack. That's right. We're taking your questions and we're going to answer them live on the air. So you don't want to miss that. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MBG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe upside down.
To the shocking moments.
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw. It was me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night. Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. You showed me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum. Yes! Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow? Hey, we were just talking about you, kinda. You guys still together? I heard you broke up.
We're actually engaged to be married.
You engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news! You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Whoa! I mean, it's amazing!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to say Flo Rida's disrespectful in a major way. You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28, but I'd be upset too if I was named after this awful stain.
Oh, you got it!
You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house. Like, my name is Danny Tanner.
Oh! Oh.
Bo! Please!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Celebrating 4 years of the Rack.
Hunter's kind of been with you from the beginning, hasn't he? Where he was down with you in NXT, and then he's sort of followed you up through the Shield and now to this opportunity.
Yeah, man, the man clearly has an eye for talent, you know. it's been good, you know. NXT was a good experience for me. We were the first kind of group of guys who were involved in that project, and if you look at what it's become now, it's pretty impressive to think about where it started and how it began very humbly in a warehouse in Tampa. And now it's basically its own brand. And to have, you know, Triple H support through and through the entire way has, meant more to me than I think people ever understand. And it's really helped position me where I want to be and helped me grow as a person and as a performer.
Now, there's a lot of buzz around NXT right now, and certainly you helped to create that buzz. You know, is there anyone down there right now that you're maybe looking forward to facing in the near future when they come up?
I have a lot of friends down there, a lot of people who I traveled the road with in my previous life, and I think that those guys, you know, the Adrian Neville, the Sami Zayn, the Finn Balor, Hideo Itami, Kevin Owens, these are the guys who obviously are making a name for themselves right now in NXT. There's a lot of young guys, too, who are pushing the envelope as well, really trying to make a name for themselves in the shadow a little bit of some of those bigger names. You know, you got someone like a TJ Parker, who's been down in NXT for a while, making waves. You got a Tyler Breeze, who's, you know, on the cusp of something big and stuff like that. So there's a lot of talent down there. I'm looking forward to see what the landscape up here in WWE looks like in, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years with all of those names that I mentioned up here working with us. It's going to be a very interesting period for the future of WWE. This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins, and you are listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on Wild Talk Radio. com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to youtube.com/mbg1211 for all your stop motion wrestling action figure needs. If you're just joining us, it is the 4-year anniversary of the Rack. Woohoo! Yay! 4 years. Here's hoping there's many more to come. You missed our news segment. You missed NXT, but you're just in time for Tweet of the Week.
Used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Seamus tweets out a picture of Hollows and Fentimans ginger beer and captions it, "For gingers only." Kevin Owens, Shark Week. But, I need sleep. Bailey, sup Sasha Banks. And it's a picture of her and I think Sasha's brother.
I think so.
To which Sasha replies, "Sister Nero, playtime is over."
Can I jump in?
What?
Broken Matt Hardy goes, "Delete every hashtag brother Nero, regardless of their gender, or they will leech you forever." That was his response to Sasha.
Dude, just let it go. She's better than you. Andrew Heard tweeted a picture of Sheamus and thanking him for signing his basically photo on the wedding day. This is the guy that he was the honorary groomsman for. Brilliant surprise. And it's the signed photo of Sheamus in a frame. To which Sheamus replies, "I've been framed!" And that's all I have.
WWE Creative-ish. "Hello, Brock." "Yeah?" "We're putting you on the cover of WWE 2K17. Are you excited?" "Do I get paid?" "Yes." "And?" Click. That's probably how it went. Total Divas Eps. "Bailey Reigns. The gal with the greatest hugs. Bailey Reigns. She'll squash you just like a bug." Clever. "Hey, WWE Creative-ish. Hey, Internet. Remember when you thought WWE Baylor was going to debut and beat The Miz? That was hilarious." Al Snow. "Are you bored? Break into your neighbor's house every night, but don't take anything. Just put a cape on their dog." Bobby Heenan. At Real Bobby Heenan. He's now on Twitter. "Hello, humanoids." He's finally made it to Twitter.
He found his way to Twitter.
Everyone's excited.
They should be.
Robbie E. tweeted out something on eBay. EC3 replied, "Not sure what's more worthless piece of you-know-what, the item for sale or the person selling it."
Ooh. Ethan.
The following is for hashtag WrestleBand. Billy Guns N' Roses, the 1-2-3 Kid and Play, Scott Hall and Oates, Crosby, Stills and Kevin Nash, the Dixie Clicks, the Isley Brothers of Destruction, the Phenomenal One Direction, Mr. Fuji Fighters, JBLL Cool J Lethal, Grateful Dead Man, Tom Petty and the Neckbreakers, Nickelback Suplex, Phenomenal Wonder. I did that one already. Guns and Adam Roses, the Wu-Tang Clan, the Lonely Island, which is with a company picture of the Shining Stars, Tom Petty and the Heartbreak Kid, a former guest of the show, Evan Michael Lee, 30 Seconds to Sheamus,
hey,
and Edge and Christian Rock, TNA Creative, "It's Bailey. WWE wants to hug the breath out of the bliss, hug the breath out of bliss, cute little body." That sounds wrong just typing it. Yes, it does.
Yes, it does.
Kevin Owens. "Can't wait to show that NXT rookie Shinsuke Nakamura why WWE Hawaii is actually the Kevin Owens show." Bobby Heenan. "You know, they say money can't buy happiness. Give me $50 and watch me smile."
Bobby!
Joey Styles. So Real Bobby Heenan. "I've always loved the insult ham and eggers. I've become fairly successful, but I still love ham and eggs. Thoughts, sir?" He replied, "It means you're really cool." Bailey, fun fact about NXT Winterhaven. "Miss Charlotte and I had our first singles match against each other in this building in early 2013. Seth Rollins replied, Yoshitatsu pinned me with a low crossbody in under 5 minutes in Winter Haven. Bayley replied, will more history be made tonight? And then Sasha Banks tweeted, don't forget about our dolphin lamp was created at that building. Put me over. Bayley goes, I'm the last dolphin standing. Time to bring it back. And finally, the fake ESPN. Cowboys Ronaldo McClain suspended 10 games for substance. And the NFL season has officially started. That would be Tweet of the Week.
That would be Tweet of the Week. And now, we don't even have music for it. Ask the Rack?
You ask it. We answer it. It's Ask the Rack.
I forgot we have a sounder.
I forgot we did too about 10 minutes ago.
We have a sounder.
One more time for those at home.
You ask it. We answer it. It's Ask the Rack.
So we have Ask the Rack questions.
We do. Where do you want to start?
Start at the top.
All right. What is your favorite all-time and current wrestling theme song?
Huh. You're a host. You can answer first.
Favorite all-time is probably Taker's, but I really dig Bray Wyatt's, of course. Shinsuke Nakamura. Kane. There's so many others. Like, I have like, almost all the... I'm a dork, okay? I'm just going to admit this. When WWE used to put out the theme song CDs, I used to go buy them, and then they got all scratched up from just overuse, and so I got really, 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 really excited when they put them on iTunes, and guess which nerd bought them? Me. So I have all the theme songs on my phone at any given time, so yeah. I have lots of favorites. Edges, I forgot Edges. The remix of Edges is awesome, but yeah. What about you?
You want to call yourself a nerd? I just opened my desk drawer.
Oh, God.
And I have the WWE Anthology 3-disc set of all the theme songs. From the 3 different eras.
Really? I think I have that one, too.
Yeah.
Is it like the yellow and the green and the blue one?
Yep. I still have it.
Still have it.
It was just in my hands. Now it's going back in the drawer. So, alright. So, to answer the question, I always like the Shawn Michaels theme. I always like the Triple H. It's time to play the game theme. Current themes, when I need to get stuff done, I have 3 themes I play. Charlotte's, Bailey's, and Sasha's.
I can respect that.
Because they just get you in the mood.
They do.
Alright, so that answers that question. What's next? What's next on Ask the Rack?
Well, up next...
Apparently I win, I'm a nerd.
Apparently. Do you think the Revival will have success on the main roster?
They're a tricky bunch. Because you look at them and you go... They're not going to get over on the main roster. They have all the talent in the world, but when Vince looks for someone, he looks for personality, and they're only beginning to grow a little bit of a personality, and that could hurt them in the long run. Because their gimmick's not about personality, it's about being wrestlers in the ring. And on the main roster, you have to be a little bit more than just a good wrestler.
You know, I almost want to see them do something very similar to the APA. Not quite to that degree where they're smoking cigars and drinking beer and have an office and everything, but do a real similar gimmick to what the APA did, where they're just the rough, tough,
guns for hire.
And I think if you did them like that, they probably could get over. Where you just you bring them in initially for someone, they're guns for hire, very similar to what you did with the Shield and a bunch of other people. And then you start to break them out on your own. I think the important thing is that if you're going to bring them in, that you need to establish them strong. You need to have them be dominant, and you can't job them out too quickly. I think one of the things that's made the Revival so good in NXT is that they've provided real competition in the NXT tag division. And you need that in the main roster tag team division, because right now what we have is, as much as I love New Day, they're a glass ceiling. Nobody can seem to get past them. We'll see if the Wyatts can, but nobody can seemingly get past the New Day. So it's something of, if you're going to take the Revival and you're going to put the Revival against someone like New Day, you need to have the Revival go over.
New Day falls. New Day falls. No. So it'll be interesting. I don't think the Revival gets called up in this draft. I think they should stay down in NXT.
Yeah, I would keep them down there, have them hold down the tag team division, because you've had Enzo and Cass go up, you've had the Vaudevillains go up, you will have American Alpha going up in the draft probably, so that really He leaves the Revival and Hype Bros and a couple other people. So you want to have somebody down there that's more established in the division, that's already, you know, they are the only two-time champions. Keep them down there for a while. Have them hold the division down until you're ready to bring them up, until you settle the draft, and then they come up.
They need to be the foil for the American Alphas when they get going. And they're going to be, that's going to take a while. So, next.
Alrighty. Are we excited for the Cruiserweight Classic?
Yep.
Yes.
I don't have anything more than to say then. Yep.
Yeah. Let's see. What are your top five current tag teams in wrestling?
Five tag teams. Let's go. I guess they have to be in order. Let's think about this one. On my list, I would have American Alpha. I would have The New Day. I would have Gallows and Anderson. Since Luke's hurt, I don't want to put the Wyatt family in the top five because I'm not a fan of Eric and Braun as the team. I like Luke and Eric as the team. The Revival is good. Trying to think of another tag team I like right now. But it says wrestling, so it's not just WWE, so I'll throw The Addiction in there as well as number five.
Can't forget The Addiction.
The best damn tag team in the business. Three syllables. They taught us three syllables.
Three syllables.
With the Appletini.
And we have the Appletini recipe, thanks Christopher Daniels.
Thank Christopher Daniels. All the archives at RackRadioShow.com. What about you? What are your top five current tag teams?
Well, I have to throw the Wyatts in there.
Yeah, I know you do. But
shocker among shockers.
Yeah.
Let's see. I like the Vaudevillains. I like Enzo and Cass.
I forgot about Enzo and Cass, but they would be number six.
I do like the Revival. I think they're good heels. And honestly, I'm just going to say it, I like Fabrice. I think it's a good pairing. I think it's a great pairing.
There you go.
I want to see them grow, and I want to see them get pushed into something really serious in the tag team division.
Yeah, I agree. You heard from Seth Rollins, he sees big things in the future of Tyler Breeze.
Yes, he does. So, let's see. We're going to talk about Brother Matt's hair.
Broken Matt Hardy.
Is the streak in Matt Hardy's hair just the spot that's going gray, and he's trying to cover it up, or has he watched Sweeney Todd too many times? The latter.
Both.
No, that's not spot cover-up.
No,
that's
I know. I was just making Matt Hardy's old joke. No, he's watched Sweeney Todd too much.
You can tell by the really awful accent.
Brother Nero.
Although it's going to give us years of fodder.
It is. Brother Nero. I spent like 10 minutes the other day just watching stuff on YouTube about it. Brother Nero.
God help us all. Let's see. Which wrestler will you always have a soft spot for? Like, mine is Big Show because he kissed my hand at my first live show.
You can go first.
Kane. I will always have a soft spot for Kane. Because he is the sweetest human being alive.
Sean or Foley?
Foley.
Sean or Foley. One of the two.
Yeah, Sean.
Showstopper. Remember getting a picture of just his armpit? Great.
A picture of Shawn Michaels' armpit.
Alright, so my dad, it was like 20 years ago at this point. He ran down trying to get pictures. And he comes back, I got pictures, and we get them developed, and the picture of Shawn Michaels' armpit. Classy.
Classic.
I know. Next.
Who would we rather interview, Stephanie McMahon or Dixie Carter?
Dixie.
Stephanie.
Stephanie's the answer, but I want to interview Dixie Carter. Just to hear the spin. I know what the Stephanie interview would be. I hear the corporate speak. I want to hear what Dixie would say.
See, I want to interview Stephanie just to fawn all over Stephanie. Because I have a thing for Stephanie, but that's a whole separate conversation.
So who would win
entirely?
So who would win in the fight, Triple H or Dana White?
Oh, that's hard. Can Dana fight?
Yeah, Dana can fight, but Triple H would kick his ass.
Probably, yeah.
Though Dana knows his grappling, so you know Hunter could screw up a little bit and you know get caught in something. But I'd say Hunter in a fight, Hunter would win. I would assume.
I think it would be a fair fight than people would allow for, but I think in the end Hunter just is better trained and is more physically fit to fight, if that makes sense. Like, I'm not saying Dana doesn't work out or anything, but Triple H is and performance condition to do wrestling. And I think people don't give wrestlers nearly as much credit as what they really should for how they take care of their bodies.
Within the chat goes, I'm sure Dana has killed a man. Possibly. Possibly.
If he didn't kill somebody, he paid somebody.
And the body,
that's for sure.
And the body's buried in the Las Vegas desert.
Somewhere. He knows where the mob body spot is.
So let me ask you this question.
Hmm.
Do all of Braid's dreads have names, or just the colored ones?
Just the colored ones.
Just the colored ones. We explained this last week. One's Lucille. What was the other one?
Ricky.
Ricky. Ricky Ricardo. Alright, how stupid is it going to be to ununify the title again?
It's going to be supremely stupid. Not happy about this. At all.
I can see why they want to do it. It's not a great idea. It's not the worst idea. It's not a great idea. But, yeah. I think if they keep, like we mentioned before, if they keep one champion, have him wrestle on both shows, and keep defending the title, it would actually make the title, the WWE Championship more important. But now that they're calling it the WWE Championship and not the WWE World Heavyweight title, you kind of can tell what the SmackDown belt or the Raw belt will be called.
Well, I think for me, it's like, you're going to have the IC title and you're going to have the US title. And we've been over this before. I just don't remember if we actually said it on the air or not, because you and I have a lot of random conversations. But
yes, we do.
It makes more sense to me to have the heavyweight title stay as one and have that be on all brands. And then for the brand titles, you raise the US title and the Intercontinental title up respectively and have those be the defended brand titles. Then that way they can carry a little bit more weight, because honestly, splitting the World Heavyweight Championship into two belts, that creates like no purpose for the IC title and the US title. You might as well get rid of them and just have the World Heavyweight title and then the championships, and that's it. So to me, it's like, why don't you have one title, one overall champion that floats, and then you have your brand titles where you have your brand specific champions.
It's either that or you get rid of the US and Intercontinental title, and we've talked about that before. Either you have two world champions and that's it, or you get rid of the two other single titles, or you have the one world champion and two singles titles.
Yeah.
Four belts is too many, but they're going to have four belts.
Yeah. And plus, all that work they did to unify the title just a couple years ago.
Yeah. 2013?
Yeah. It's like they just reunified the titles in 3 years ago. So it's like, they're splitting him again. Why? I'm not a fan of brand split. I think I've made that abundantly clear, but yeah, not a fan.
Next.
So who is more likely to let a small child braid their beard? Luke, Bray, Eric, or Braun?
Braun.
Eric. Braun would eat the kid. What are you talking about?
Braun would put the kid on his lap, let him braid the beard, and then eat the kid.
No, he would eat the kid beforehand.
No, he would eat the kid afterwards. We've seen Braun Strowman's Instagram. He would let the kid braid his beard first. Going on facts here.
That's not a fact.
It's a fact.
It's not a fact.
Yes, it is.
How is it a fact?
Because you've seen the Braun's Instagram.
Yes, it's all fishing and knives.
Okay, he's out there. He's a party guy. We've seen him in outfits.
Yes, in a Wonder Woman costume, as I recall.
Exactly. So that makes it a
fact.
That doesn't mean that he's going to let the kid braid his beard before he eats it.
It is indeed a that Braun Strowman would be the one to let the kid do it.
You're full of crap.
I'm not full of crap. I just know things.
No, you don't.
You tell me I don't know things.
You don't know things about this.
I do know things about this.
You know Braun Strowman personally, and you know that he would not eat a child until after the kid braided his beard.
Yes, it's a
whatever. How hard will we all collectively cry if when Sasha wins the title, they have both Snoop Dogg and Vicky Guerrero come out to congratulate her? Honestly, I would cry harder if Vicky Guerrero showed up and congratulated Sasha over Snoop Dogg.
We're just going to throw this out there. Neither one will show up when she wins.
Excuse me. No, neither one will show up when she wins, but it would be cool to see her with Vicky.
It would be, but Vicky's so far distant at this point, yeah.
Vicky is happy at home with her husband or her fiancé or whatever, leading her own life. I think Vicky has left that behind her. But who knows? She may pop up. She's the former SmackDown GM.
This is true.
They could I think they're going to Texas soon, so never know. We could have Vicky return.
Next.
Let's see. For nostalgia's sake, because this is reminiscent of last year, does Rock know I'm now on birthday number 2 and him not following through on his Enzo promise? Yes. Happy birthday, Whit.
Happy birthday, Whit. One day?
You're supposed to get him for her birthday this year.
I never made such promise.
Yes, you did.
Okay.
It's a fact.
Am I supposed to hit the thing?
Yes. There we go.
Next.
What are the chances they have to change SummerSlam plans because Brock breaks a bone at UFC 200? Oh, well, it's very likely. It's extremely likely. Let's not forget that the guy that Brock is facing broke his last opponent's jaw. So
if he breaks a bone, yeah, they're gonna have to change plans. Brock's gonna. Go ahead.
Sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say Brock's gonna wrestle at SummerSlam.
Brock's gonna wrestle at SummerSlam, but I'm sure they do have a plan B just in case. Or they will have one.
As Brock mentioned today, he doesn't give a you-know-what if he loses. If it kills his WWE marketability.
He doesn't care. He gets paid.
He gets paid either way. It doesn't really matter to him. And, you know, Steph came out and was talking about how, you know, we're not totally, you know, promoting it. We're not, you know, we're not supporting it completely. But he's a fighter. He's one of our guys. So, you know, he's allowed to do things to make him happy, etc.
Yeah. But yeah, they will have a backup plan in case Brock breaks his face or any other part of his body. So, let's see. And what are the chances of CM Punk getting his ass kicked in his UFC debut?
75% chance?
Somewhere in there, yeah. I from everything I've heard, Punk is not doing well in his training. The delays, I think, aren't doing him any favors.
The man is beat up. The man has had knee injuries, he has had shoulder injuries, he just had back surgery. He's going to go in a fight with a trained fighter who's been doing this for a while. CM Punk has been training for a year and a half at this point, trying to get into shape to compete. He is a heavily underdog in this fight, and for good reason. He's going to lose. But this is what he wants to do. He wants to get in the ring, the octagon, and fight. But he'll get his ass kicked.
And it will be entertaining.
Could he win? Yeah. Anything is possible. Brock Lesnar lost his first UFC fight because he dominated for 80-something seconds and then lost in the last second. He got caught. Anyone can get caught in a UFC fight. So CM Punk can get his ass kicked and still win. You never know.
But it's going to be really entertaining either way.
It's going to be really entertaining either way, any way it's sliced.
So, which deceased superstar legend Hall of Famer would you like to interview the most? And why?
The American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. Because it's Dusty Rhodes and he would have great stories.
Paul Bearer.
Because he has all the dirt on The Undertaker.
He has all the dirt on The Undertaker. He has all the dirt on Kane, but also he had great stories.
Chairman goes, The Rock. Well, because it's The Rock. He's not dead, though.
He's not dead. Rob hasn't gotten him yet. Don't do a blame Rob before we have a blame Rob.
Yeah, Matt. Anyway, next.
Stone Cold's not dead either. Don't even go there.
Next.
Which NXT call-up this year was most surprising? Which call-ups do you think will happen this year? Dana Brooke was pretty surprising.
Yeah, Dana Brooke was surprising. Apollo Crews was surprising because he wasn't ready. Baron Corbin was not ready, but Vince McMahon likes his size. So there's three right there. I understood why Dan was brought up, because she was supposed to be brought in with Emma, because they're a good pairing.
And then Emma screwed up her back.
And then Emma screwed up her back. What call-ups do you think will happen this year? Everybody?
Yeah. Bailey, Finn,
Bailey,
Nakamura.
Nakamura, Joe probably by the end of the year.
Bobby Roode. The list goes on.
American Alpha, Alexa Bliss, and Carmella, one of the two will probably be brought up as well. I don't think just like Dana Brooke, it's too early to bring up Nia Jax, which means they'll be doing it on July 19th.
Nia Jax is still kind of feeling out her character, and she gets better every time we see her.
Like, that's what I said. They'll bring her up, even though she's not ready.
We'll see.
Let's go. Which WWE debut were you most surprised by and why? Whether debuted on NXT or the main roster? Surprising, I guess. From the standpoint of it being totally out of the blue and oh my god, I can't believe they actually did it, Samoa Joe and AJ Styles, because they were the heart and soul of TNA. So bringing them into NXT or the main roster 3 years ago, you didn't think was going to happen just because of their loyalty to TNA. We always thought they should come, but it was surprising in that matter.
I would say AJ Styles and James Storm. Storm was really surprising because, again, you talk about the heart and soul of TNA. That's the heart and soul of TNA. And James has been loyal to that company to a fault, but he's got a family to support. And I think his contract ran out with TNA, and he decided to try his luck with WWE, and it just didn't work out.
Yeah, that's true.
AJ is just from the standpoint of, it's AJ. And when you think about the mindset that they have had in the past regarding guys like AJ, they don't really think that highly of them. So it's really surprising that AJ got the nod, and the fact that he did get to come up to the main roster right off the bat was really cool to see, because there's this moment where it's like, holy crap, it's AJ Styles, and he's on WWE TV.
And now he's been main eventing shows with Roman Reigns and John Cena.
It's just, I mean, it's like the moment where Styles and Cena stepped in the ring together, it was surreal. It's like, really? Holy crap.
Which then brings us to, which was a more surprising return, the Dudley Boys or Del Rio? Del Rio.
Del Rio.
You knew Bubba was coming. Bubba was going to make his return at some point because he left TNA. And when he came in the Rumble, it was, oh my god, it's Bully Ray, it's like Bubba Ray Dudley. I was like, that was a big surprise at the Rumble. But it was more shocking Del Rio returned because of the way he left.
Yeah, Del Rio, with the way that he left and the amount of crap that he talked about the company after he left, it was really surprising that he did come back. But I think money talks in that instance. And that's why it's like, you never say never for anybody leaving and never coming back, because it's just like money talks. Always. And they have the money to be able to get people to show up. So it's basically, how much are we going to have to shell out to get you to appear?
Yeah. Excluding CM Punk, which WWE return do you think the fans want? Do you think the fans want has no chance in hell of ever happening? I say no Punk because he's kind of a given at this point. So a return that we have seen no chance of in hell of ever happening.
Hulk Hogan?
No, that'll happen. He'll be back.
AJ Lee.
Because she's tied with Punk.
I mean, I would never say, and I wouldn't even say never say never on Punk. Because you never know with that entire situation.
You never know, but he said it there earlier this week on Russell and Canal that he's never coming back to WWE. But again, 10 years down the line, you never know.
Yeah, you never know. And it's just, you look at who's out there and who's left. It's like, you know there are people that are never coming back, but you just can never be sure.
Like, I don't really have a name. I really don't.
Yeah, I can't. I think the biggest one I can think of is AJ Lee.
That's a decent one, because, like, we talked about the rumors of Kurt Angle. He'll come back at some point, whether it's just for a Hall of Fame or whatever. Goldberg's coming back, Warrior's coming back, you know. Yeah, anyone's up for grabs at this point.
Yeah.
Including, if the Hardys ever return to WWE, who would they feud with?
Each other.
Brother Nero. No, New Day. Wyatt. Dudley's. There's all teams they can feud with. I see Jeff coming back, but I don't ever see Matt coming back. He don't want to go on the road.
Yeah, I don't see Matt coming back.
Unless he wants to come in for one big match at a WrestleMania and work like 6 months, a 3 month run with WWE. I can see that.
Yeah, but even then, that's iffy. I think Matt's perfectly happy in TNA, and he doesn't want to go anywhere else.
He got so much creative freedom with the Sweeney Todd.
Yeah, he did. They just basically told him, do whatever you want. We don't care.
Yes, I had to bring up Goldberg. Yes, I had to bring up the Goldberg. Next. I'll just go. Do you think they put a younger team over, or would they be damned the spotlight? I guess that's talking about the hard question.
Let's demand the spotlight.
Demand the spotlight.
Yeah, I guess that's to the Hardy spot or the Hardy question. I think they put the younger team over, but they would demand the spotlight too.
Yeah.
If it's both of them.
If it's both of them. They're not. Matt Hardy is very egotistical. He can say what he wants about the wrestling business, but he's very egotistical and will want to go over in every situation.
Yeah. Let's see. Has anyone ever surprised you with something that they've said in an interview? Y'all can keep that at a yes or no answer.
Yeah.
So you don't get in trouble.
What turned out to be very surprising with Seth Rollins?
What happened after? Yeah. I think the most surprising was Seth Rollins, because we interviewed Seth Rollins about a week before that whole Dickgate thing happened.
Yeah, we did. He talked about being letting him be home with his fiance and his dogs, and
yeah, his beautiful fiance and all this other stuff. And then like a week later, it comes out. Oh, hey, look at his thing! Literally, it's like, oh, hey. But yeah, I mean, in terms of what people have said. Everything that we talk to them about, with the exception of the, hey, how you doing, when they initially pick up the phone, goes on the air. We don't cut anything from the interviews. We don't, unless it's just, I don't think we've ever had to.
No, we've never had to.
But yeah, it's like, we don't have a lot of chit-chat before and after, so everything that we say to them and everything that they say to us goes on the air. So y'all hear the same thing that we hear. So there's not really anything that they say that's shocking, I think. It's just interesting situations, like with Seth Rollins.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we'll go with that one. I'll give you my next response in about 15 minutes beforehand. Next.
Also, you and Linz are in a Survivor Series match against each other. Who do you choose for your respective teams? Dibs on the Wyatt family. The entire family. All four big bastards.
So, we doing four or five people in this team?
Well, me plus the Wyatts is five.
Oh, so it's me? Okay. So you want the Wyatt family? All right. Let's see. I'll take The Rock. I'll take John Cena. I'll take Triple H. And I'll take probably like one good more person to throw in there.
Taker?
Yeah, let's go with Taker. There you go. Cool. There's a bunch.
Let's see. Do we have a favorite game show?
To answer your question, yes, I have a favorite game show. I guess I need to be more specific.
Yes.
Growing up, it was The Price is Right, because it's just memories in your head of the wheel and Plinko and everything like that. They brought back the match game on television the other day with Alec Baldwin, and it was hysterical. I love the match game. Yes, we're playing Ask the Rack right now. Which you did not submit questions for, intern. Shame on you.
You freaking slacker.
God, I can't even rely on me.
We advertised it for like 3 weeks, man. Where were you?
Slacking. That's where he was.
God.
But yeah, I love the match game. Family Feud's always fun. It's a fun game show. But those are some of the ones I like. Yes, we know you're still at work.
You're always at work, dude. You live there. I'm going with Price is Right as well. Just because I have really fond memories of it as a kid, being on summer vacation and being home. Came on 11 a.m.
Yes, it did.
On CBS.
Mm-hmm.
Followed by the news, and then The Young and the Restless. I still remember that schedule.
Hold on. I gotta check something out. Keep talking for a minute.
So, yeah. Price is Right with Bob Barker. I don't really care for Drew Carey. No. I don't think he's up to par.
He's not as good as Bob Barker, but there's only really one Bob Barker.
There is only Bob Barker.
And it goes Price is Right, The News, and then Young and the Restless.
Still. Yeah, the schedule hasn't changed in like 30 years. And then also Let's Make a Deal. Which is on before Price is Right.
But it's not as good with Wayne Brady.
Not the new one.
No, not Wayne Brady. The old one.
The old one. Because that was on Family Channel, I think.
I remember it on the Game Show Network.
We didn't have Game Show Network when I was little. It didn't exist, but we had, I think it was on the Family Channel, or it might have been on like either USA or TNN. Yes, I'm dating myself. But yeah, I remember Let's Make a Deal was also on in the early, because they used to show it, I think, in like marathons, where they'd have just blocks of it. Because nothing else was on, so I would watch Let's Make a Deal, and I always loved that show.
And then going backwards, since I'm not allowed, I have to pick one. I'm not going to pick one. I'm just going to name some more. Let's go. Double Dare. Let's go figure it out.
Yes! Double Lair! Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Legends of the Hidden Temple. No whammies, that's... press your luck. No whammies, no whammies, no whammies. But, it's not a game. What was the other one? There was Double Dare, there was Figured It Out. There's one other one.
Hold on. Hold on, hold on. To the Google!
I don't think What Would You Do was considered a game show, but it sort of was a game show. I love their theme song. Guts is not a game show.
Guts was a game show.
Yeah, I would say Guts. Guts is one too.
Okay, so we have Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Yes.
Double Dare.
Yes. I had Guts. Yeah. I had like a Double Dare kit, which was awesome. I had the little Double Dare logo and everything. Anyway, dating myself. Continue.
Nick Arcade.
Eh, just okay.
Figure It Out.
Figured It Out. I like Figured It Out.
What Would You Do?
What would you do?
Wild and Crazy Kids.
I love that show.
Holy crap. Get the Picture.
Eh.
Think Fast.
Eh.
Make the Grade.
Don't remember it.
Finders Keepers.
Sort of remember it.
Brain Surge.
Don't remember it.
Nickelodeon All-Star Challenge.
No idea.
Slime Time Live.
What the hell is Slime Time?
Okay. I don't know.
I don't know.
Paradise Run.
Yeah. Password. I like Password. Continue.
Nickelodeon Robot Wars.
That sounds new.
Scaredy Camp.
No idea.
Splat. It
just sounds like a tagline of the show, of the network.
Splat a lot. What?
Really? Okay.
You're on. Search for the Funniest Mom in America.
Okay, that's new.
Don't know any of the back half, but yeah, the first three, yes. Wild and Crazy Kids, yes.
So cheesy, but it was awesome.
I wanted to be on Legends of the Hidden Temple so bad.
So, what game show would you like to be on?
Price is Right.
That was my answer too, Price is Right.
Out of everything that's out there, it's like, to get on Contestants Row and get up and actually win something and get to spin the wheel and all that stuff, yeah, Price is Right. Just because it's like nostalgia and everybody, I think, wants to do it. Like, everybody just wants to spin the big wheel.
Yeah, who doesn't?
Because it's awesome.
It's the big wheel. It's the big, big wheel.
Wait, what?
Apparently
Mountain Dew has acquired the Astro Crag and it's touring around?
The Agro Crag.
It's the Astro Crag.
Is it? That's what I thought. He wrote Agro.
Mountain Dew Astro Crag.
No, it was the Agro Crag. It was with two G's.
Agro Crag. We're just live on the air. Live Googling Agro Crag Mountain Dew.
I like Googling Agro Crag, and one of the things is I tried to blow my student loan money on a piece of the Agro Crag.
No, apparently you can get a replica of the trophy thing.
Yeah,
for $300 on eBay.
Yeah.
Oh my God, there it is! Holy crap! They resurrected it in New York City.
How about that?
There it is. Wow. Oh, look, they even have the little trophies. Aww. So wait, can you climb it?
Maybe.
Oh my God, they even brought back Mike O'Malley for it.
Well, after his show, Yes Dear, got canceled and whatever other one he was on. Of course he would.
Hey, money is money.
Money is money. Yeah, apparently you can do it. I'm looking at it now. Huh. How about that?
I have to do a thing. I have a need! I have a mighty, mighty need.
They should just tour it around the people climate. So there you go. That was it. That's the final question. So that was indeed.
You ask it. We answer it. It's Ask the Rack.
That was fun.
It was fun. By the way, intern, if you want to submit questions, you have an extra week to submit questions. We'll give you an extension. Otherwise, you got to hold them till Christmas. Or till the next time we do this, which is probably Christmas. But I think that does it for the rack. What do you think?
He goes, that's it? You're calling it? Yeah, we've been on the air for 2 hours just about. Dude, where have you been? I know.
Almost three. We've been on the air for almost three.
No, we've been on the air for two. We've been talking for three.
Oh, yeah. Right. 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 Can we do this show right?
Yeah. So if we were actually doing a 3-hour show, you would have killed me by now. Anyway, we're
done.
Yeah,
because I'd be like, I want to go to bed. We're but you done. Have stuff to plug.
Right, right. This has been The Rock right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Saturday Night Midnight Edition is CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. Where Kane Kittens will be on the show to talk about stuff. Movie challenge. He's going to do the movie challenge with us. Because he says he says he can go 20 for 20 on that one.
Oh, I may have to listen to this.
Yeah, yeah. CB Radio Live on Facebook, Twitter.com, hashtag blame Rob when a celebrity dies.
No place that you can go 20 for 20.
Huh?
No pressure that he can go 20 for 20.
Especially if there's a Woody Allen movie in there.
Yep.
He doesn't like Woody Allen movies.
Who does?
Good point. But he doesn't know any. So anyway, CB Radio Live, Saturday night, midnight. Sunday is Russell Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. At WTR Sunday on Facebook and Twitter. RussellTalkRadio.com to vote in the all-time greatest. We'll be back next Monday for another edition of the Raw Post Show. 11-10 p.m. Eastern, recapping everything that goes down on Monday Night Raw. And we'll be back next Thursday night for another edition of Rack Live right here at 10 p.m. Eastern at Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, .com, YouTube, where you can find the Elimination Chamber and a Final Four-Way of past guests of the show. Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, search Rack Radio Show. At Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com, this is Wild Talk Radio Network.
You good?
Yeah, I'm good now.
All right. You can follow me on Twitter, at LinsWard, L-A-N-S-W-R-D, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitter. Don't forget to check out our very fine sponsors, TNAsylum.net, the haven for TNA fans, Wrestling Figure Wednesdays, youtube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop motion wrestling action figure needs, and the awesome folks over at Gerwick.net. Huge thank you to everybody that submitted questions for Ask the Rack. As always, we appreciate it. If you guys have any questions, feel free to either tweet us, email us, contact us, whatever. We're always happy to answer fan questions. But we also do Ask the Rack twice a year, so you're welcome to send in questions in too. Up to you. Gonna leave it open. But for Rock, this has been the 4-year anniversary edition of The Rack. Hopefully there's 4 more years to go. We'll have to see.
Oh, there will be.
But I know there's gonna be a show next week, so till then, I'm Lindsay, he's Rock. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye!